Well, hello, my friends. Blessing and peace on you in the mighty name of King Jesus. Welcome, guys, to the special edition of The Pulse. Guys, you made it to the year 2025. This is the second episode. And, brother, do we have a doozy? I'm going to be joining with my bride today. She's going to be joining us. I have friends here sitting at the table, and we have lots and lots of things to talk about, including a prophetic look at this coming year, the year 2025. We're going to be talking about the year of the open window. We're also going to be talking about why the body of King Jesus needs to be prepared for an overflow of grace and for favor for this year in the midst of chaos. Like, what? Yeah, listen, the Lord's not going to dish out chaos to you. He's going to dish out favor, and he's going to dish out grace to you in a year of all kinds of messes. Man, you get to be blessed in the year of the mess. You're going to see about that. We're also going to unpack some of the headlines in the news, including the Cybertruck terrorist attack and Justin Trudeau stepping down. Goodbye, Trudeau. We call you blessed in Jesus' name. Don't let the door hit you on the way out. And then what God is doing through our ministry and through Spark Worldwide as I talk with my bride. And then we're going to give you a chance to ask questions behind the veil as we'll be going there in about 45 minutes. So buckle your seatbelt. Guys, joining me directly across from me is Ms. Shay Wilbur. How are you?
I'm great, sir. How are you?
I'm good. Welcome to 2025.
Thanks for having me. I'm glad I made it here.
I'm glad you made it here, too. So you're done with your rehab. You've been clean now for like 3 months.
Yes. Hallelujah. I'm on probation.
That's good. Yep. No more ankle monitor. Hallelujah. Yeah. Anyway, I'm so happy you're here.
I am too. It's good to be here.
I know that we're going to have a huge week this week and also too next week. And next week is the great big conference. And so we have friends from all over the planet Earth. I just got word from Darren Stott. He's coming down.
I'm so excited.
He's going to be with us the whole time.
My father-in-law is going to be here too.
Really?
Yeah. They're going to be here.
Paul Wilbur.
He's excited.
I can't believe he's not down in South America somewhere.
I know.
He's always stomping around.
I know, but he didn't want to miss it. So he'll be here for some of it too.
That's
Patricia King, you're about to say.
Yeah, she's going
to
be here. And I am receiving words. Everybody's like, yeah, I'm going to see if I can manage. And then at the end of the night, I'm just going to get up. Whoever is here, whenever I get through preaching every single night, I'm just going to get them up on the stage and we're just going to prophesy to everybody. It's going to be amazing.
And I can't wait to hear your new word because I've seen and I've heard previews of it and you've teased it. And I just feel like people are not even ready. Like they're just not ready. It's going to be so good. Your word for this conference, specifically for this new year. It's exciting.
It is exciting. And it's a big, huge word. And I'm also going to be telling everybody and showing people pictures of something crazy that happened. I want to talk about it today, but I really can't.
I think you should save it.
I'm going to save it.
It's worth it. And if you are in the area and you can make it to our New Beginnings Conference, it's worth it to come just to hear how God has been speaking to Pastor Troy. And if you're not able to come in person, this is the perfect time to become a Stage 3 member of our ODX community if you're watching us on YouTube, because you will have access to all of our conferences. And that's a way where, hey, maybe you can't get a plane ticket to come here, but you can be Stage 3 and you can join our conferences and you can hear the word as you deliver it. And man, it is going to be so good. I'm so excited about this conference. And you can still get tickets and register right now.
Yeah, I encourage you guys to get your tickets. They are selling fast, and this place will fill up. But your ticket is also transferable between you can watch it online or you can watch it in person. Yeah. And so we started doing that about 5 years back. We're going to continue to do that. But as Ms. Shay just now said, if you're Stage 3, if you are Stage 3 partner, you don't even got to get a ticket. You can just watch it online. As you can watch every conference that I do, if they have a camera set up, you can watch that online. And so I went and did a conference last night. We would have showed that online, but they didn't have cameras set up. And if I didn't know, if I had known that they didn't have cameras set up, we would have brought our own and done that for our Stage 3 peeps. But I didn't know until I got there.
I know. So, and we didn't know until you were driving there.
Yeah, okay. But that is something I do a lot of conferences, and we will make sure that there's a camera in the room for all of our Stage 3 people, no matter where I'm at this year. That's a big part of what we're doing. Now, sitting next to you is my good friend and fellow podcaster. He does his podcast called I Like Birds. And I just recently did a really cool deal with him. And what a fun night that was, brother Zach Rippey.
Hey, it was awesome having you, talking about your book and just the favor of the Lord. And man, you just shared so many great stories about what God has done in your life and talked about Richard Branson, talked about some amazing things that has happened. Good. And look, we had some friends come out and do some live worship, which was incredible. There they are, Shay Wilbur and Rebecca.
Hey.
Rebecca in the house doing some worship.
JD over there rocking it out.
We had some fun. Cool.
Look at Troy leaving me hanging.
Yeah, I'm trying.
That was actually great.
I was actually, yeah, go back to that picture.
That's look actually in action.
You're like, hey, give me some of this. I'm like, no, I'm good.
You're looking like the opposite direction.
Yeah. Dude, actually, what I'm trying to do is I'm trying not to bust a, look, I want you to look at how close that button is to busting on my big old belly. God help us in Jesus' name.
Oh, it's
angle. Close.
You're leaning back.
It's close. I'll tell you, it's that close. It could have put somebody's eye out. Anyway, hey, I know that there are lots of people from all over the planet Earth and they're tuning in right now. Who else here?
Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Don't forget to drop a comment. Let us know where you're watching from. We love to see it. We have so many people here. I think this really stood out to me in the comments. I saw Mark, Craig, and Teresa all watching from South Africa. How incredible cool. is that? We have Candace from Alabama. We have Rhonda from Joshua, Texas. We have Sharon from Camperdown. We got Reese in California. We got Kay from Joshua, Texas. We got Temple from Burleson. We got Linda from The Colony. Renee is watching from CFNI in Dallas.
Wow.
We appreciate that. We got Tamala in Gainesville. We have Jean from Grapevine, Julie in Northern California, and our friend Laura is actually watching in Saginaw right now as we speak.
I see Frank in Uganda.
I love it.
He's one of my sons. I'm telling you, Brother Frank. Hey, Frank, sure do love you, buddy. I'm coming to see you here in a couple of months, and I don't have the dates yet, but I'll be in Uganda in the springtime, and I can't wait to come see you, little brother. I miss you, and I love you, man. Well, you have to say anything else before I continue?
Man, I wanted to just thank you again for coming on our show. We dropped that episode today, and it was so special to be able to just put that out there with you guys and stuff. And I know we're going to do some cool things with the New Beginnings Conference coming up and the ODX gathering that we're going to do. Yep.
Yes.
We talked about that yesterday and just what we have in store for people to come hang out with us pre-show and just, you know, do some fun things and giveaways and all sorts of things like that. So make sure you get your tickets. You haven't got that yet.
It's totally free, too, for the ODX people. Yep. If you're part of the ODX gathering, and we go... We give the availability for third stage, second stage, and then first stage, right? And it's almost full. I think we have 30-something seats left for that.
Yeah, I think it was around that. It might be even less. I think it's even less than 30. I think it was like in the 20s, how many seats we had.
So we're just going to have a special one-hour event where all of us get together. There's food in there. We're going to do a bunch of giveaways. What else are we going to do with those guys?
Oh, man, we're going to do some meet and greets, obviously. Mm-hmm. We're going to allow them to ask questions. So make sure you drop your questions today specifically for the ODX gathering. And we're going to look through them and just choose a couple good ones.
Oh, wait, somebody's calling me here. Hang on just a second.
Who is it?
Hang on a second. Wait, check this
out. Oh, no.
Hey, man, what are you doing? Hey, man, I'm right in the middle of a podcast. Can I call you back?
You're live around
yeah,
the world.
I'm live. I'm live, dude. Dude, listen, I just broadcasted you all over the world. I'll talk to you in a little bit. I love you, buddy. Okay, bye-bye. Well, that was the Lord Jesus Christ calling me.
This is what happens when you fast, right?
Yes, exactly right. Today is day 7 of my fast. Today is day 7 of my fast. I have billions of fat cells that are crying out saying, please make it stop. But it has been a very beneficial fast. It's been very beneficial. Yeah. And I had an encounter with the Lord. My wife has been very good to me through my fast. She has been so sweet to me, and she's been so good to me. She went to Smoothie King for me a while ago. I'm like, hey, let's go. And so, yeah, so we'll be talking about my fast and talking about some of the things I heard God speak. And in the meantime, Miss Leanna Brewer, Pastor Leanna.
Yes.
Dr. Leanna, you have your doctorate degree now.
I do.
Yeah. Doctor, do you think that pastor should come before doctor, or should doctor come before
doctor,
pastor?
Pastor, doctor?
I have no
idea. I don't know. Yeah. Let us know what you guys think.
Yeah, I have no clue.
And she's a great kisser. She's got lots of attributes.
Oh, and she's beautiful.
She also makes the best chicken fried steak on the planet Earth.
Ooh.
Put it in a blender.
Are you hungry?
Yeah, exactly. I'm a little bit hungry.
Oh, no.
How are you doing? I'm glad you're joining me today. Okay, so I was supposed to be in Charlotte, North Carolina, doing the Sid Roth show this week. We had this huge week of filming, and all my Sid Roth people, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry that I'm not there. We had something come up this last week, and you're going to have surgery on Thursday, and we didn't know until this last week that you were going to have surgery. We've been waiting for this thing to happen, and boom, it happened. And they're like, hey, you got to have your surgery. So you're going to have a major surgery on Thursday. And we'll tell you all about it later. We'll tell you all about it later. And you're going to praise God and you're going to thank God. And it's going to be awesome. It's a big victory report. The whole thing is. But it is a major surgery. And so because of all the weather and because of all the mess, uh, I, I, I can't. I have to be able to guarantee that I'm here at 5 o'clock in the morning on Thursday, and like I just can't. The logistics just don't work. And so, anyway, so I canceled that. So you are going to be doing this today without me, but I'm here and I'm in town. And
glad you are.
Yep. Well, by the way, are you excited about your surgery? Are you nervous about it? Are you scared about it? Are you like, let's go?
Let's go.
Okay.
Yep. Nope. I am not nervous. No, I'm not worried. The only thing I don't like about, obviously don't like having surgery, but it's, you know, we live in a first world country. It's not like it's a, you know, hard thing. It just, I don't like to recover because I don't like to be still. It makes me crazy when they have to, you know, when they tell you, they give you these restrictions of what you can do. I'm like, don't tell me what to do. I want to do, I want to be, I want to be able to get up and clean my house the next day. You can't do that.
You
and
are
so,
not allowed
know,
to do that.
I know. So those kind of things, but other than that, no. I'm excited. It's going to be life-giving in a really big way.
In a really big way.
It's actually a big answered prayer, too.
It is.
So.
The surgery is a big answered prayer. And so, again, I want so bad to tell everybody about it, but I can't. You just kind of have to wait. Once she's done with all this and once all this happens, we'll do a whole huge show on what this is all about because it's next level. It's extraordinary, but it is a big deal.
And no, I'm not getting a facelift. Thank you.
I always feel like though we have to clarify like, okay, this is not cosmetic surgery.
Not that
this
I
is actually
something.
No, I am not.
I said that on Sunday. I was like, yes. I told the whole church.
The
I was like,
questions. Thank you.
I was like, church, listen, Leanna's going to have surgery. I want us all to pray for her. Okay. Listen, it's a big deal. And then I'm like, what did I say?
I don't know. I was driving home or something.
Dude, I started busting out laughing. And then the whole church started. Everybody knows I'm lying. That's not the case.
I hope they know. Well, not all of them because I have questions.
Do people know you tell like these jokes, you know? Because a lot of times I get in trouble. I'm a jokester as well. So a lot of times I get in trouble because people don't know if I'm joking or not. I'm like, it's totally a joke. Come on.
Yeah.
Stuck with that, you ever get people being like, not sure?
And just know,
I think
I'm not
it's funny
against,
when people don't.
Yeah, I'm not against, you know, having those kind of surgeries. That's just not what I'm doing.
So. My face has been falling for about a decade. And it's like, I would go get everything cinched up, but everybody would know. Everybody would be like, what the heck? Do you look like Nancy Pelosi?
Yeah.
And I'd be like, everybody would know. I actually got, what do you call it, baby?
Botox.
I did get Botox one time.
Oh,
okay?
It was terrible.
And I did. I mean, I got a bunch of friends. They sell Botox, and they're all girls. They're all girls I went to high school with, and we're all still buddies. And they have a salon and whatnot. And they're like, Troy, come over here. And so I went over there. And they're like, listen, this should cost you a lot of money, but we put together. We want to give you this Botox. Troy, you're on TV. You're too wrinkled. You look like a road map. You what? Come on. And I was
true
like,
friends.
I was like, okay, well, knock yourself out. So they helped me down. They squirted like 17 of those things into me.
That's prophetic.
Yes. It's overcoming power.
How many units was it exactly?
Let me tell you what happened. Everybody thought that I was mad for 8 weeks because I was like this.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Because they didn't put it in the right
place.
Yeah, because
I am very much a very expressional guy. Right. I look like a Norman Rockwell painting. You know,
you're expressive when you talk, and then it changes everything.
Yeah. So, dude, I couldn't be expressive when I talked, and everybody thought I was mad. I had people leave the church.
That's funny.
I had a 2-hour conversation with him, and he was just like
mad.
Cold.
He was
like
scowling
cold.
At me. Well,
I'm
I had
no.
bad experience.
I was like, look, I'm extremely happy right now. Listen, I'm full of the Holy Ghost.
I'm really
the Spirit
happy.
Of living God is moving through. You just can't.
One time I got it done around my eyes and I will never, and I repented to the Lord. I'm like, God, give me back my wrinkles. Just give me my normal eyes back. Cause my eyeballs looked like this and I would smile and it was like, and I'm very expressive. And I just kind of came to the realization that I would rather have the wrinkles on my forehead and be able to make my normal expressions. Yes. Now I'm not anti it, but I'm so expressive and it looks weird when I can't make my, you know, normal
I'm sure that there's a million people I know that they do that, and I don't know that because it just works for them.
Yeah.
It don't work for me.
It works for everyone.
It don't work for me.
It doesn't work for my father-in-law either, which I don't know if I'm allowed to even say that, but for the record, he had a similar situation as you.
Paul Wilbur. Yeah, no, man.
He was looking angry.
I let a bunch of girls talk me into that, and I'll never do it again.
Oh, my gosh.
Leanna even told me, no, Troy. Just let your face fall. Now, I want to tell you, the Comanche Indians would have
had... exactly what I said, but yeah, okay.
The Comanche Indians would have had a heyday with me out in the day, because I'd be like the perfect person to scalp. You can grab my head, and my hair just goes like this all over. It moves all over my... I have lots of room. Anyway.
That's interesting.
We went down a weird path. Yeah,
this was not something that we planned to talk about today on the Pulse.
There you go. There
all
you
right.
Go.
You well, never we know what you're going to be here.
So, guys, I want you guys to be in prayer for Leanna's surgery. That's going to be Thursday, and I think it happens like at 10 o'clock in the morning or something like that.
7.
It happens at 7 o'clock
during
in the morning.
During the snow and all that coming down?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's, okay. Again, that's when we cancel our trips, because it's going to be snowing and all that. And Texans freak out, man. They freak out.
Can't even pick up groceries right now.
Dude, listen. Yeah. I love I love Texas, but it is so shameful how Texans act when it starts to get cold. It's shameful. I mean, honestly, I'm embarrassed.
They would rather take the day off than like clear the roads, you know?
Yeah, it's crazy. So anyway, that's going to happen. All right, Leanna.
Yes, sir.
Let's me and you talk about some cool stuff.
Okay.
Number one, you should look pretty today.
Thank you.
Yeah, and you're happy and you're in a good mood?
Yes, I am.
Am I in trouble for anything?
Not with me, okay, but I don't know not anybody else.
Hallelujah. 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 Okay, so we're talking about several different things here today. And one of the things that we're talking about, you were at the conference last night with,
It was so good.
Pastor Jeff, Pastor Glenda, and we were in Colleyville, and we were at the Journey Church last night. Mm-hmm. It was so good. And great congregation. And I saw a police officer there that we had been praying for months and months. She was actually shot in the face.
Oh,
gosh, I guess it's been about a year ago now.
No, it hasn't been that long. It's only been about 6 months.
Well, I was so shocked to see her. She's completely blind, and she's beautiful. And she came in with her husband last night, and as soon as I saw her, I thought, I wonder if that's that police officer. Yeah. And I think her name's Cassandra. I think her name
is.
I'm trying to think what her last name is. But anyway, I was shocked to see her out of the house. I was shocked to see her. And I walked her to her and I said, hey, I'm Troy Brewer, and I'm sitting in the seat in front of you. And I saw you come in, and I know who you are. And I have spent so much time praying for you. I have prayed and I've cried over you. And I'm shocked to actually see you. And she goes, yeah. She goes, I get out and I go shopping. My husband takes me shopping. And she goes, I do. She goes, I get out of the house. Like, wow. And so I want to see her healed of her blindness.
Of everything, yeah.
Amen.
And I thought about that through the entire conference last night. Just like, man, I want the Lord to heal her of blindness. Me and you have seen people healed of blindness, haven't we?
We have. We sure have.
What's your favorite I saw somebody healed of blindness story?
Oh, well,
I know what you're going to tell.
Little Joshua.
Yeah, so tell us. Yeah.
So it was on one of our trips to India that it was one of our trips, and we had gone, and you stay busy from like, you do 12 to 14 hours of meetings all day, like nonstop. Wow. It is like every day. And so this was late in the evening. We were exhausted from several days of all of this. And then all of a sudden we park our bus in this remote village and we're climbing a mountain in the dark.
Yeah.
They don't have electricity.
Foot.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
And I thought, where on earth are we going? What are we doing now? And we get up there, and on the side of this mountain is a small village, and very villagey people that probably don't leave the village. And they don't have any electricity. They don't have anything. It's very remote. And we get up there, and they've got these wires hooked up to this generator, and they've got one light bulb, just one, and that's it. And they're fixing food and they're doing all these things. They're getting ready for a church service, and we were going to be doing the service. Well, I always, you know, I just like kids. I prefer mm-hmm. kids. And so I'm looking to see where the kids are, and I'm talking to them. And I notice there's this one little boy. And at that time, he was probably 7 or so. And the boys sit on one side and the girls sit on the other. It's very cultural. And I noticed this one little boy was sitting behind the other boys. He kept tapping them, not hitting them, like trying to hurt them, but just kept messing, fidgeting with them. And the other boys would just get mad and just move. And this little boy would stay there. Well, I realized he was blind. And the only thing I could think of, this little boy's blind and he lives on the side of a mountain. That's just not good. And they thought he was special needs. They thought he was highly autistic because of the way he was acting. You know, he didn't have no social
wild.
Skills.
He's just wild. He was wild. He's a feral kid.
And so
man.
I told Troy, I said, this little boy is completely blind, and he lives on the side of the mountain. And this is one dangerous, but we've got God's got to heal him. This is like not okay. So we all prayed for him, and didn't see his healing that trip. The next trip, we told him we want to go back to that mountain, climb up the mountain, and go. Went to see Joshua again. Same thing. Still not healed. The third trip we went, Joshua was probably 11 at the time. And we went with Pastor Jim Maxwell, with Gina Zagara, which we had been with him several times, and people got healed of blindness. And we were like, okay, this is it. This is going to be the trip that Joshua is going to be healed.
And the year before that, we were with Josh Weathers, the musician. He went to India with us. And I told him, I said, man, there's this wild blind kid way up there, man. Let's go up there and let's go do a gig. And so we took our guitars up there.
Yeah, and we had JC the one
light.
Us.
JC Ledbetter was with us.
Yep.
And we had the one light. They turned the one light on. The entire village gathered, and they all sit in a circle. And we all three played our guitars and we sang. And out of all the Josh Weathers concerts I've ever been to in my whole life, and I mean, he did like Trump's inauguration. Mm-hmm. He's done crazy things. He sells out Billy Bob's all the time. He's one of the greatest musicians, I think, in the world. That is my favorite Josh Weathers concert.
It was so anointed.
On the side of that mountain, man. And we were sitting up there, and I was playing guitar with him, just looking at him. He was singing, and all of those Indian people, they were all sitting on the ground in the dirt.
Yeah.
Just, we had one light bulb. It was like 1 o'clock in the morning, and that little blind boy was there, and you were holding him.
Yes. Yeah, they were.
So
they preferred me holding him because he wouldn't run all over. He was a very happy little boy. Anyway, so the next year we go back and we get up there. And again, it's in the evening. And I'm looking at, because I've been praying for Joshua all this time. I'm determined this little boy is going to get healed. And we get up there and I don't see him anywhere. And it's not like a lot of people up there. And so I finally started asking around, hey, where's Joshua? Where's Joshua? And everybody was like, yeah, they were just acting like they didn't know what I was saying. I knew they understood me, but nobody wanted to answer me. And I just all of a sudden I thought, oh my God, something's happened to him. And anyways, finally I went to the pastor that we work with there. And I said, Sue, dear, I want to know where Joshua is. And so he asked, and they said, well, he's sleeping and we don't want her to wake him up. Because they were like, finally, the kid's asleep. Right. Leave him alone. Because he is a lot. He was a lot. And I said, I don't care. I want to see Joshua. So they went and got him for me. His spastic, wild self comes out. And we do the worship service that Troy preaches. We've eaten with them. And it's getting time to go. And I had taken him to Pastor Gene for him to pray for him. He prayed for him. Pastor Maxwell prayed for him. Troy prayed for him. We all prayed for him. Still nothing. And we're sitting in the circle around the kids, and Pastor Maxwell is sitting down. And I said, Pastor, will you please take a picture of Joshua so that we can show people back at home so they can pray for him too. This little guy's really got to get healed. The Lord really put it on our heart. So Pastor Maxwell takes a picture. And mind you, it's pitch dark out there because there's only one light and it's over where the grownups are. And all of a sudden, the look on Joshua's face just changed. Like
it
just changed.
The flash went off on his.
Yeah.
And that kid saw that flash.
And so I told Pastor, I said, I think he saw that light.
Oh,
and the other grown-ups around were like, no, he can't see anything. He was born this way. I said, Pastor, will you do it again? And he did it again. And I mean, his eyes like really got big then. And I said, Pastor, I think he sees that. And so he did it one more time. And this is a smile on Joshua's face.
And then that kid started freaking out.
Then he started freaking out. And then all the other kids started freaking out. And then he wanted to see. And he was looking at himself. And he got so excited. And it just, that was like my favorite miracle ever. And then come to find out, he's not autistic. There's nothing wrong with him. He just didn't have anything to do. That's all he could do was feel.
Well,
and
Pastor Jim has the progressive pictures of him. Because after a while, he's just started going flash, and the kid would go, do it again. He'd be like, oh.
Yeah.
And you can see in the progression of the pictures, his eyes going from white and changing and changing and changing and changing.
Really?
Yeah. Man, we got to get those pictures.
It was the coolest thing ever.
We got to get those pictures, and we'll put those here on the podcast.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, Pastor Jim has them on his phone. I'm going to be with Pastor Jim here pretty soon. So
that's so cool.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a good one. And that was a good miracle.
He was completely restored?
He is completely. Yeah, he was born blind. It wasn't like he.
Oh, yeah. Right. No, so,
yeah, wow. He was completely healed.
Right there completely healed.
First time in his life able to go to school, village. All of these things. Yeah.
And dude, and he was running around and he would touch something and then he'd start busting out laughing like,
That's what that is. That's what that is. Like,
And he just started running, touching everything and laughing. Because he knew it all by touch, but he didn't know it by sight.
Wow.
Oh, that's incredible.
It was so cool.
And do you think there was any moment you think it was just consistently believing for it? Or like, were you guys like radically like praying over him at that time? Or
no, everybody had already prayed for him.
Yeah.
And we were taking a picture so that we can bring it back home because we weren't going to give up. We're like, this little guy's going to get healed.
And then through the taking of the pictures, you started seeing.
Through the taking of the pictures, the first flash, we noticed his face. He just looked different because he always just, his eyes were just messed up. And I was like, I think he saw that, and everybody's like, no, I don't think, I think you're hoping. And, if I was, they did it again. And as Troy said, as they took more and more flashes, it progressed. You could see he was seeing more and more and more. It was kind of like the blind man that Jesus healed at first. You know, he saw people as trees, and then the second touch, he could see. And it was like that with Joshua. It was like he could see a little bit, and then all of a sudden he could see, and it was.
Wow.
That was one of the coolest moments of my life.
People from all over the planet are actually making all kinds of comments. So I want to tell y'all that if you have a question, because here in a little bit, after I still got to go through the current news events, we're going to do all that. But if you have a question, if you'll type in, if you'll do the old Alan DeDio thing, and if you'll hit like four question marks and then put your question, then we'll actually see that. Or if you have something that you want us to address, or some point that you would like us to make, then put four or five explanation marks and then tell us what that is, right? And then we'll be sure and see that, because there's tons and tons and tons of people that are actually joining us. So hallelujah. All right, guys, let's go to a current event. What do you have over there? What's going on?
The photos come.
Do what?
The photos.
The photos are coming?
Which one?
About the boy you were talking
about. Oh, really?
Okay, well, you get them loaded up.
Sweet. Oh, that's cool.
Where did you find them at? Okay, that's outstanding.
Connie is amazing.
OG Connie.
We love her.
Yes.
Even though she's not here, she's always watching.
Get them loaded up, and I'll go back to it here in just a second, okay? Hey, man, I want you guys to put on here. I made a tweet last night about the historic event that happened with Kamala Harris yesterday. And I want to show you this tweet. If we can put this up here real quick. Watch this. Let's see if we can do this.
Yeah, it's a video. Yeah, the video of
her. The video of her, and
the
then
votes
we have your
president of the United States are as follows.
Well, I need
Donald J. Trump of the state of Florida has received 312 votes. Kamala D. Harris.
Yes.
Oh, wait. Yes. Can you imagine how hard that was for that prideful heifer? And for her to stand up there, she had to be the vice president that announced she lost and Donald J. Trump. One. Now, hang on.
Kamala D. Harris of the state of California has received 226 votes.
226.
You see the Speaker of the House?
I do. I do. That is okay. So here's the deal.
Wow, wow.
All right. So I made a tweet last night. And if we have the tweet, I want to get the tweet up here. I'm just was going to refer to this.
Yeah,
just
so it was Ecclesiastes 226 you referenced.
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
Do we actually have the actual picture of the tweet, though?
We have the scripture that you
used. Okay, well, then let's just go to the scripture. So here's the scripture, Ecclesiastes 2:26. And did you guys remember she just said that she had to... Let's see what. Can you all pull it up on your phone? Can you all just pull it up on your phone? We're having problems.
Oh, there it is right there.
Okay, so for God gives wisdom and knowledge and joy to a man who is good in his sight, but to the sinner... He gives the work of gathering and collecting that he may give it to him who is good before God. Okay. What was the number she said that was with Kamala Harris? 226. That is Ecclesiastes 2:26 that says, if you're not good, you'll have to give it away to somebody who is good.
That's so bananas, yo. Oh my God.
It's crazy.
Thank you, Lord.
How about them apples?
How about them apples?
That's wild. That's like the third time this year that something has happened, and there's been a number, and we've looked it up, and it's been like a mind-blowing.
God is speaking.
It is crazy.
The Spirit of the Lord is speaking, and I want to say this too. Whenever I saw that yesterday, guys, that there was this historic. I mean, it's actually official. He's actually the president now, right? It's actually official. Okay, let me tell you, our work is not done. We have to pray more, declare more. We have to cooperate with the Holy Spirit more now. And even though things like this, I mean, this thing is actually happening. I mean, she had to get up there, and I can't imagine how hard that was for her. But she had, because she's not about doing her duty ever. And she had to do her duty. She had to. And then her duty was to announce, I am the loser, and Donald J. Trump is the winner. And then the number associated to that was 226. And Ecclesiastes 226 says that if you're wicked, you will have to give what is yours to a righteous man.
Wow.
Okay, well, if that is not the word of God, I mean, come on, man. So Kamala Harris becomes the first woman to certify her own election loss. The first woman to certify her own election loss. That is so prophetic.
And it's just so funny because they were totally like the first woman to ever become, like they were speaking that verbiage.
Yeah, and now it's the, like first the first woman, woman to lose.
Well, you know what I thought when I first heard it? And she's standing at that table, but the scripture where the Lord says, I prepare a table for you
in the presence of your enemies.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, that's
good
cool.
job. Hey, listen, Vice President, you did, listen, of your entire administration.
That's my favorite moment.
That's my favorite moment of you. You did a great job.
That was so good.
That, you really did your duty yesterday, and I praise God.
And I love that when she was saying it, too, like she was trying to, like, blow past the whole Trump,
yeah,
and then, the applause was so loud she had to pause.
Okay.
Like, yes. That was so good.
Yes. Dude, that is so prophetic. And then again, the numbers are she received 226. And Ecclesiastes 2:26 says, if you're wicked, you're going to have to give it away.
Wow.
That's craziness.
Praise God, man.
That's the Lord. Okay, going back to Leanna's miracle story, Connie sent in some pictures. And so we actually have the pictures from Pastor Jim's phone of as we started that's taking him. Pictures.
Oh my gosh, yeah. That's it?
That's it. Okay,
oh
that's
goodness.
One picture. And then look. Whoa. We started taking it, and his eyes, the fog in his eyes started to go away, and he actually starts seeing.
Look,
with the smile, too. Jesus is with him.
That's
come
so
on.
So cool.
Wow, that's like, that's so emotional. I see why you got so emotional.
Oh, yeah.
Like, oh, my gosh. That's
wow.
Like, wow. I couldn't imagine being there and witnessing that in person. Like, come on. Talk about a faith booster.
Let's go back through that progression again one more time.
Man.
All right. So there, I mean, look, okay, he's at that first picture, he's completely blind.
Yeah, wow. So his eyes weren't even straight
when
we first saw him.
Exactly.
They were very clouded, but they were almost.
Well, the pupils are probably like in different
directions. We're on the side of a mountain.
And he doesn't look straight because he can't see anything. So his eyes are more than cross-eyed.
But
and
then he starts looking directly into the light, and he starts like trying to put his mouth on the phone. Mm-hmm. He's freaking out. And his friends, you know, he's got his friends here and all these little village kids on the side of this mountain over in India.
Wow.
And then take another picture and he's like, no, okay. And he's no longer cross-eyed. He's got both eyes focused on, and he's telling everybody, I can see, I can see, I can see. And then finally we continue to take pictures and the little boy is no longer blind.
Gosh.
Yeah. Wow. That is so cool. Yeah.
Isn't he beautiful? He's so beautiful.
Yo, this testimony alone makes me want to encourage people to share this episode everywhere. Get this out there. This could be a real faith booster for people out there that need evidence and proof of like God's goodness, man. Come on, share this out
and
there.
Keep
smash
going
the
after
like button.
It. Keep going after it. Don't stop. You just keep believing.
Yeah, that was either 3 or 4 years in a row. We went to go see that little boy praying for his healing. And I'd be on the plane with Leanna. You know, it's a 16-hour flight from DFW to Dubai. And then it's like a 7-hour flight from there to Vishakhapatnam. I'm thinking another place. No, that's correct.
Yeah.
No, that is correct.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. But sometimes the reason I get confused is because from Texas, you can either go north, you go directly over the North Pole, you go over Russia, and you go straight into India. Or you can go east. If you go east, you go over to Dubai. Or you can go west, you go to Hong Kong, then you go to Singapore, and then you go there, and it's all the same. It's exactly, India is exactly the other side of the world of Texas.
Wow.
You can either go north, east, or west to get there.
You have plans on going back there at all?
I do. I currently do not have a visa because the Indian government will persecute Christians. They hate Christians. Everybody thinks that they're our allies and they're our friends. They are not our allies and our friends. And, I mean, they kicked Billy Graham out of the country. What's Billy Graham's son?
Franklin.
Franklin Graham. They evoked his visa. Like, no, really? No, you're not. You preaching Jesus over here.
There's several big ministries.
And nobody ever says anything about it. And they will persecute Christians. And so I had a 10-year visa And then my 10 years came up. And mind you, we probably put in several million dollars into India during that time. We built tons and tons of orphanages. We build 100 water wells a year in India. But still, you got that Christian label on you. They may or may not let you back in.
Wow.
That's unfortunate.
I was supposed to be back there this week, actually. We just finished building a new girls' school, a Leanna Brewer girls' school.
Oh, come on.
And I was supposed to go and inaugurate it. But
you're going to have surgery.
Yes, I'm going to have surgery. So I will be back there soon.
Wow.
So, guys, remember to pray for the Christians in India because they have a tough time.
They do.
I mean, they do. They have a very tough time. With that said, the church is very alive in India. And again, there's a lot of... Anyway, I love India. I would love to go back. I will go back, but there's going to have to be some political miracles that's going to take place in order for me to go back.
Speaking of political miracles, Justin Trudeau stepped down.
That's crazy.
Justin Trudeau. Wow. There he is. Well, Justin Trudeau steps down as a leader of the Canadian Liberal Party. This move follows surprise resignation of his finance minister. Well, there can't be any money corruption going on there.
No,
it comes just
way.
2 weeks before Donald Trump administration is sworn in. It's like, okay, he went down to Mar-a-Lago, and he went back and he resigned.
I know. I feel like people are just scattering, like, you know, when you turn the lights on and there's like, you know, whatever, bugs or whatever, and the light goes on and it scatters. Yeah. And I think people are just a little freaked out.
Yo,
what's going to happen?
What's the matter?
And they should be. Yeah.
What's the matter, Justin? I mean, come on. What's the matter? What happened? What did he say to you? Where'd you go? Where'd you go, buddy? Where'd you go?
Talking
communist, socialist, God-hating, Christian-hating, church-hating, freedom-hating, demon possessed with a DNA of Castro.
Yeah. Do you remember? I'm sure you do remember this when he basically took away all the bank accounts from the truck drivers who were protesting against him.
Like, hey, you don't get to protest for your freedom. I'll just take away your money. Yeah, exactly right.
Yeah.
Well, I say ding dong, the witch is dead. He's out. And again, 2 weeks before Trump steps in there, because there is a new sheriff in town.
That's right.
And that is something else.
And we even see Mark Zuckerberg coming out today and reversing course on freedom of speech and bringing back, taking away the fact checkers and announcing that they're going to be able to basically have people be able to share civic content again and be able to share openly without it being fact checked.
So I think that there's a couple of different things in place with all this, but number one, the spirit of the spirit and the witchcraft of woke has been broken, and that's it's really important to understand that thing is broken right now. And so we have to advance. I think that there's a couple of things going on with Zuckerberg, and one is this: he has seen how anybody that makes a post in England that doesn't say, I love these rapist Muslims that are raping and devouring our nation, anybody that says the law is coming and busting them and literally using Facebook as a platform to find freedom-loving people in Britain. I should say this, freedom-loving Britons in Britain. And I think that he's actually seen that. He's also seen how successful that X is now because it's free.
Yep.
Because you can actually write things on there. There's actually, if you're going to ask my opinion, like there should not be, I send Elon Musk this all the time. There should be zero pornography on X.
I see you do that on Twitter all the time.
There is no room for pornography on X or on their mess or anybody else's. And it's like, whoa, I thought you were Mr. Freedom. No, sir. When it comes to the slavery of people and when it comes to the sexualization of kids, and if I have to go through a feed and if I have to report, hey, this mess is coming to me, and if I have to do that, I'm sorry. That shouldn't be my job. That should be your job to keep to keep these platforms porn free.
Yeah. Right? And there's plenty of AI softwares that can do that just by recognizing images and pixels and all sorts of things like that. Yep. So there's the technology to do it. They just haven't done it.
They haven't done it. So again, there's some fishy money thing going on, some demonic thing that's going on with that. And I still want to see those things done. And
it's a step in the right direction. But again, how scared is Mark Zuckerberg that with Trump coming in? He actually went and had a meeting with Trump at Mar-a-Lago last week too. So it seems like he's trying to get a foot in front of what's happening with legal stuff as well, possibly. And then even he brought on Dana White, the UFC director, to be on his board of trustees.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I didn't know that.
Yeah, that happened yesterday.
I had no idea.
Right before this happened.
Dana White is on the board?
Of Meta now, yeah.
You got to be kidding me.
Isn't that wild?
So the deal is, man, these clowns have put – they have been the misinformation pushers of the universe. Anything woke has been heralded as this is great, it's brilliant, it needs to go to the front of the culture. And they did everything that they could do to make that happen. They failed.
They did.
They failed.
And it backfired big time.
And it backfired on them. And so now you have Trump, you have the administration, and then you also have with Trump's team is Elon Musk, who's like, no, I know what this is. I know what you did. And you want to play in our sandbox and you want to be successful and do you want to make money or do you want to be Bud Light?
Right.
Because we're coming after you. And then these clowns, even though he's a billionaire, even though he's a this and all that, suddenly he's like, oh, yeah, well, we've always been about free speech. It's just we didn't have any choice. The FBI was making us whatever. Mm-hmm. Dude, I want to just tell you, listen, that kind of thing that's going on in government is going on in the body of Jesus right now.
Mm.
It's going the whole thing is happening right now. And it is very, if you have been playing in the wrong sandbox, if you have been a part of all these nefarious things and you got away with it, this is the hour that you're not going to get away with that anymore.
Yeah.
Kind of goes back to your open the window, talk that you had at the podcast about blood money too. Mm-hmm. And that's what a lot of this is connected to.
Yeah. I had an encounter with the Lord a few years back and I had this dream. And in it, my daddy was in it. And one of the things that he said to me, my dad, this man walked up to me and I thought, who is this guy? I thought, I know this guy, but I can't picture who he is. And he said, you didn't recognize me, did you, boy? And it was my dad, but he didn't look any way like I've ever seen him look before. And he goes, you didn't recognize me, did you, boy? And I said, daddy, I've never seen you like this. He said, no, you never see me like this. He was so alive, and he was so, he was different, you know. Last time I saw him, he was on his deathbed, you know, and here he was moving fast and confident and on point and on task. And golly, it was powerful. But he told me, there was a whole bunch of things that he told me, but he told me this. He said, Troy, blood money is a big deal in heaven.
Mm, wow.
And he said, you don't want to be a part of blood money. And he said, blood money is going to be a bigger and bigger part of how people negotiate. He said, but you've never been a part of it and you cannot be a part of it. Blood money is a big deal in heaven. And he said, Troy, we don't have time. And he laughed and he said, of course, you know that. He said, but we're aware of the world clock. And he said that. And he said, in heaven, they call it the world clock. And he said, you're that far away from the return of Jesus. You got that much time left. And he literally went like this. You got that much time left. That's all that's left of the world clock. Don't be a part of blood money. Well, wow. What was crazy was that next week I was on a podcast called Blood Money.
Whoa.
And it's a secular podcast of a guy who was so good. He loved what I did. And he was so good to me, and he wanted to make people aware of what I do. But I was so freaked out. I think it's the worst interview I have ever done in my whole life because I'm like, what a confirmation. This, I mean, because what the guy does is he exposes conspiracies and those kinds of things. So he calls it blood money. It's a great title of a show. And he was so gracious to me. But dude, it was the worst interview I've ever done because it was a few days after I had that dream and I was on a show called Blood Money.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, blood money. The reason it's called blood money, and if you guys do a biblical study of it, blood money is not just called blood money because there's murder attached to it. Blood money is corrupt money that demands justice. It has a voice to God.
Oh wow! Like it has a. Oh, I get what you're saying.
So blood cries out to God from the ground.
Wow.
Okay. So this is all. So that kind of corruption with money, when it involves human trafficking, when it involves these kinds of players that we've been talking about, where it involves sex, it involves children, it involves all those terrible things. It tells God what you spent that money on. That's why it's called blood money.
That is so interesting.
It demands justice. And people that are a part of this stuff, they have no idea. They pile up their billions, and it's screaming, please kill this guy.
Wow.
And they think that money is their friend.
Nope.
And they have no idea. It's demanding that this person be thrown into hell. That's what blood money does, and you don't want nothing to do about it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, so Trump just now made a statement, so let's talk about this.
Yeah, so I just saw actually Pablo, who's watching. Thank you for giving us the heads up. Trump made a statement just within the hour. President-elect Donald Trump called on Hamas to release the hostages. It is held since 2023. And I love what he said. If those hostages aren't back, by the time I get into office, all hell will break out in the Middle East. Wow. So, I mean, he continues to make statements that are, again, I'm just picturing like the light goes on. Yep. And bad guys scatter, and it's
Thank
happening.
Thank you, Mr. Yeah. President, for not forgetting the hostages. Yes.
Yeah.
Justin Trudeau forgot them, and he's out.
Yep.
And Kamala forgot them, and she's out. Joe Biden was probably not even aware that there ever was any hostages. This guy is not. Thank you, Mr. President, for not forgetting the hostages. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Yep. So praise God. I pray that this just. I just pray that they're so scared.
Let's all pray that right now. Yeah. Can we do that?
Yeah.
Father God, I pray, God, that terror would come upon the terrorists.
Yes.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
I pray, Father God, sir, that horror would come upon these horrible human beings. Mm-hmm. And I pray, God, that they would open up the cages and let these Israeli and American Jews out in the name of Jesus. Father God, sir, we speak to the north, the south, and the east, the west, and we say, let them go in Jesus' name. And we speak to all of the hostages, and we say, come home and be healed Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Let it be before January 20th or on the day, you know?
Amen.
I just, because they know that he's for real. Like, he's not the type of leader that's going to say all this stuff and then not follow through. Like,
even though their intelligence level was about the same as this or probably this guitar pick, and that comes from years and years of inbreeding and all kinds of stuff that they do.
Indoctrination
from the time that they were little bitty.
It's sad.
And the demon of stupidity and that goes with terrorism, all that kind of stuff. But they're smart enough, maybe, to know this guy ain't playing.
He's not. He's not.
He's not playing. He ain't playing.
Yeah. What do you think about the, you mentioned terrorism just now. What do you think about the Cybertruck exploding outside of Trump Tower?
Yeah, all those things that happened right, like the first day of the year.
Well, I want to tell you, the number one, that is very prophetic that we had these two events happen on the first day of the year. That is such a prophetic thing. Again, that is so prophetic. And it's like, okay, so that's a mark that there's going to be a lot of terrorism this year? Well, yeah, I think so. I think it is. But also, too, I want to say this. Remember, this is the year of double grace. So you got double terror on the day of the beginning of the year of double grace, of the 5-5. Mm-hmm. 5785, 5 times 5 is 25. It's the double grace year. Well, then we had double terror. So here's what I would say. Where sin does abound, grace does much more abound. Where sin does abound, grace does much more abound. Well, if I can just be so bold as just to say, this event and the narrative that comes from the FBI does not pass the smell test for me. Mm. I mean, it just doesn't. It just doesn't pass the smell test. It's like, really? Like, yes. I mean, the moment that this terrorist hit Bourbon Street in New Orleans, the woke commander got up and said, now everybody needs to realize this is not a terrorist event.
Yeah.
There's an ISIS flag. There's dead bodies everywhere. And their agenda is not to protect the people that they swore they would protect. It's to protect the terrorists that are obviously killing everybody. And it's like, wow, get that chick out of here. Mm-hmm. Like somebody Man, like the Gong Show needs to come out with Mean Gene, the Dancing Machine, and come out with a hook and just grab her off the stage and pull her off the stage. And because that woman is a joke. That woman is a joke. And then the local law enforcement was just as shameful as everybody else. And again, their whole thing is, hey, listen, we have to protect the people that are trying to kill you. Listen, they're not all bad people.
Why is that the response? Like, it's so crazy.
That's not what you're paid to do. Like, that's not what you swore you would do. So with this event, I mean, it's obviously I need the attention of Trump and Elon Musk. It's an Elon Musk car, and it's in front of the Trump building. Like, yeah, it's meant to blow up a whole bunch of stuff. No, you don't get a bulletproof car and try and take out a building. You don't put a bomb inside a bulletproof car where the only place that the blast is going to go out is through the top of the roof and do that. And so it doesn't pass the smell test.
You seem like somebody was sending a message to both of them.
I tell you what, I'm not an authority to speak into any of that, but let me speak into this. Let me tell you prophetically about this whole thing. This thing also speaks of prophetically for the body of Jesus, for the United States of America, because this happened in Las Vegas and this happened also on Bourbon Street. Okay. Everybody says what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. No, it don't.
Comes back with you.
It comes back.
And it's got teeth.
Ooh. And it's bad. Okay. No, it don't. It doesn't stay in Vegas. And that's number one. Number two, what goes on at nighttime in Vegas happens in broad daylight on Bourbon Street.
I agree.
You know, like the day of the big hurricane, that's called the Day of Decadence. The day that hurricane hit and wiped out the entire city, that day is called the Day of Decadence, where they have an all-day-long woke, naked, homosexual fest from one end of the city to the other end of the city. And so I'm just saying prophetically, you have these tragic and terrible events that are confusing, and you shake your head at it, and you're like, how did this guy get in? How did that happen? Why is it the day after the event they could put up roadblocks? They didn't the day before. Yeah. What the heck? And then these innocent people who were just walking down the street were just run over. And I'm gonna throw this out there too as well and say so many of these people that were run over and that were killed were 17 and 18 year old kids.
Yeah, they were so young.
What are they doing? It's not supposed to be legal for them to be able to be on Bourbon Street and be out bar hopping.
I had the same thought. When I saw their pictures, I was like, they're so young. What are they doing there? I mean, I visited there because I had some work in New Orleans, and everyone on my team was like, oh, you're going to love New Orleans. It's beautiful, the culture and blah, blah. And aesthetically, like, yeah, there's some pretty architecture and stuff, but the spirit that was on that city was so heavy and so dark. You can't go in like a gift shop without seeing like voodoo dolls and all this. There's just such a heaviness of the black magic of the, I don't know what it is, the Santeria stuff, all that stuff. It is such a heaviness on that city that it just trumps any like beauty.
There's
like,
only
that's there
two cities in the United States that I've been to multiple times that I tell Troy every time, I hate going there. I hate it. And it's Vegas. And it's New Orleans.
Yeah, that's
right. And I love architecture. I love seeing. I love experiencing cultural things. I love that. I mean, I travel around the world. But there is an evil spirit in both of those places. Not that all the people there, because the church is very much alive in both those places. We've been to very good churches. Which is why I've been to both places.
Thank God for those churches.
Yeah, and so we really do. We partner with them and we pray with them. And they have a hard walk because they are in a hard place of ministry.
For sure.
And it makes me thankful when every time I leave there, I think, oh, thank you, God, for our place. But it is. It's very real. And we can't be ignorant about it. It is not flesh and blood that we war against. It's principalities and powers. And there are principalities and powers in both of those places. And they run rampant. And the church needs reinforcements. They need us to come beside them and behind them and say, we're with you. We're standing with you. We're standing with what it is, the territory that God has given you, and helping them fight the battles they have to fight, because they're real.
Well, I'm talking prophetically. I'm talking about type. I'm not talking about, so let me say this. Do not make any mistake of what I'm saying, because none of those teenagers deserved to die.
No, absolutely.
I just saw a comment like, really? No, dude, that's not what I'm saying. Please understand. I'm saying number one, it's strange to me that so many of those people were teenagers, and that this was a place where you hop bars from one place to another place to another place. Mm-hmm. And I think it speaks prophetically of, again, man, they're after our young people. This spirit is after our young people.
They are, for sure.
And, you know, the place is prophetic. You know, it's Bourbon Street, the quarter, that whole thing. And so all of that, I look at this thing the first day of the year, and I say, this is a shocking and terrible American tragedy. It could have been stopped. It didn't have to happen. Mm. It was allowed to happen. And then there's really fishy things in the midst of all of it that just doesn't pass the smell test for me.
I mean, the fact that both terrorists were in the military in the United States, like, that's...
And weren't they at the same place or something?
Fort Bragg.
Yeah,
they're both at Fort Bragg.
So it's like, are they compromised? And obviously, they're like, compromised, but like, how deep does it go in our own United States military?
There's so many questions.
I have no idea. I would tell everybody that Sean Ryan and Sam, what's his name?
Shubeck.
Is it? Is Shubeck?
Right, Shubeck, Taylor.
They came out with a podcast the day of. I saw that, as millions and millions of other people have actually seen that. And I was like, wow, all of that does not make any sense to me. Mm-hmm. But again, how I think is, I tend to think on terms of, well, I'm a very, very practical guy. Like, I'm like, hey, listen, the body of Jesus doesn't have to look at a person like Kamala Harris, who has dedicated her entire political power to the destruction of godly people, mm-hmm. and say, I need to be really nice to her. No, you do not. Mm-hmm. You don't have to. Woke tells you you have to. No. Point it out. Everything she does is wicked. Everything she says is a lie. Point it out. Justin Trudeau, same exact way. I had some people get up and leave the church, man, whenever Castro died, because the title of my sermon was Ding Dong, the Witch is Dead. That was the title. So I'm not going to back off on that. You have no idea how many Christians have disappeared because of that guy. Like, well, but we need to be very nice. No, we do not need to be nice. We need to call that for what that is. I am very much a practical kind of guy. Now that I've said that, I'm also a very prophetic kind of guy. And I don't want to miss what God is clearly speaking prophetically, because I'm so looking into hidden conspiracies and things like that.
You know, a big part of the New Testament was written by Paul. Mm. Imagine what Paul would be saying right now. And if we are truly Christians and we truly believe in the Bible and we believe in the Word of God, you got to love Paul. And I can tell you, he would call that out. He did that in his time. He didn't let those things go.
Yeah. He was very, very straightforward.
He was very straightforward. Yeah. And he didn't leave things lukewarm. Jesus didn't like things lukewarm. You're either hot or you're cold.
Yeah.
That's right.
I got a question. I got a theological question for Leanna. And tell you guys, listen, super. We're about to go behind Dr. Leanna.
He is way smarter than me.
Whatever. No, I'm not. No, I'm not. It's not a trap. It's a trap. That's for me. Anyway, I'm sorry. It's a little bit of Star Wars for you. Okay. But guys, if you have a question, if you'll put a whole bunch of question marks on there, if you'll do that and then ask the question, we're about to go behind a veil here in a few minutes. And that's exclusive for all of our ODX partners at Stage 2 and Stage 3, and all of my lifetime ODX members as well, and bless that. So that'll be about 10 minutes out from now. And also, I want to remind everybody that if you need a friend, or if you need a prayer, or if you want to support our ministry, if you want to help us rescue somebody, you can call the number 877-413-0888. Again, it's 877-413-0888, and you can also go to odx.tv, odx.tv. Okay, Leanna, I got to ask you this, okay?
Yes.
So you just recently got your doctorate degree.
Yes.
And I would be like sneaking, like you'd be in there, you know, watching all your classes here the past couple of years. And I'm always on the other side, you know, and I'm sitting over there just listening to everything, like going, wow, man, that is some good stuff right there. So I got to ask. So I thought something completely different up until just recently. And when it comes to Paul, Paul, an amazing person, and you know, love me some Paul, right?
Yes,
just love me some Paul.
God, I love him.
Amazing human being, not the nicest guy in the world.
he was very much an academic.
Yes,
he was brilliant. Probably, honestly and truly, he was probably a genius.
Not the greatest preacher in the world.
No, and he tells you he wasn't.
I mean, he preached one night so long, so boring, some dude fell asleep out the window, fell out and broke his neck.
He was very,
That's in the Bible. Yeah, but it's okay. Paul got up and raised him from the dead, and that got everybody's attention.
Yes, he knew how to get a crowd.
Yeah, but and he would say this all the time. He said, look, I know that y'all are disappointed when I came there to preach, but I didn't come with enticing words of man's wisdom.
Right.
He goes, I'm not a good preacher. But I did come in full demonstration of the spirit and power, and y'all missed it. And that's on you.
I think he's a great writer.
He is a great writer.
Best writer. And you know, when you think about him, he was at the same time as the apostles.
Mm-hmm.
But he didn't hang with the apostles because it was two different callings that they had.
And also, and they just didn't jive.
They didn't jive. He was hard to get along with.
He's rough.
He was rough.
And also, too, the other guys were rough in their own ways
as well.
I mean, Peter turned out to be a really rough
absolutely.
Cat.
But Paul grew up under the Sanhedrin.
Okay.
So
here we go. Here we go. So, I mean, he was like a whole other class. He was like a whole nother class in the culture.
He was the top of the top. Yeah,
and these guys were hillbillies. They were all Galileans.
Yes.
And so they're all from Blum. They're from Itasca.
Well, they were fishermen and stuff. He's changing it up.
So everybody knows that Paul said that, you know, he was not married, and everybody knows that Paul didn't have a woman. Everybody knows that Paul was not married, right?
Well, Everybody says that.
Wait, stop. Isn't that what you guys think?
Well, that's what I always thought, but then I heard this conversation, and so now I have questions.
So, Rod, so what is the scripture you're referring to?
I can't remember the exact book, but I know he's talking about he'd rather, like, he's encouraging the body if they're gonna go into sexual immorality
to be more like him. I am not sexual.
Right.
Yeah. He's like, I've given all that up. It's all over.
Yeah.
Right on? And he encourages everybody to do that, right?
Right.
But, you know, knock yourself out. That ain't me.
I ain't joining that boat.
Yeah, whatever. I'm with the rest of the disciples. Like that clown, do whatever he want to do. All right, but there's an issue with that. And what is the
issue? There is an issue because to be in the Sanhedrin, you have to be married.
Interesting.
That is one of their laws. And so he was at the head of the Sanhedrin. I mean, he was like at the top of the game of that. So he had to have been married. But he also had a thorn in the side. And so some people thought, you know, I've heard theologians say, well, he probably had, you know, like a limp or some kind of physical something that tormented him or something like that. But a lot of theologians now are going back and going, no, actually he was. And when he had that encounter with the Lord, she grew up in the same Sanhedrin council type thing. So she would have been like David's first wife, Michael, and went, no, this conversion thing doesn't work for me. And so he would have had that divorce on him. And that would have been his thorn in his side. People would have known that because he didn't just go from the road to Damascus and having that encounter straight into ministry. It was a 13-year process.
That's right.
That he was separated from everybody. And the Lord had to do this whole encounter with him and transform his whole mind, as brilliant as he was. He had to unlearn all of his religious stuff and had to get a relationship with the Lord. And so he was truly a new creation in Christ. He was a completely new creation. So, yeah, but they're saying, no, he was married. He'd had to have been married. That was part of their rules.
Wow.
And essentially so, before Christ.
Before right? Christ, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So for him, you know, to be celibate and for him to say, I abstain and I'm just, sexuality cannot be a part of my life. Totally legit because he wasn't with his wife.
Yeah.
And it's like, no.
And he couldn't remarry.
Yeah. And he's like, okay, well then, see, what he's saying is, man, when I found Jesus and I said, who are you, Lord? That's so interesting to me because his first, Jesus calls him out by name and calls his name twice, which is a big deal. Mm-hmm. Anytime the Lord calls your name twice, that means you're getting with a new program.
Yeah.
You know, Adam, where are you? Let's see here. There's a bunch of these things. Here's one. Abraham, stop what you're doing. Don't kill your son. Sarah. Let's see. Mary, you have many problems. Yada yada yada. So anytime you know Jonah. Yeah, anytime that God calls your name twice, it means you're about to get with a brand new program.
It's like your parent calling you by your full name.
Have you ever been called twice by name?
Have I heard him call my name twice? I don't remember.
Anyone? Bueller? Bueller?
Not that I remember. I feel like I would really remember that.
Yeah.
I can't think of it.
So, but, yeah, no.
But I'm fasting today, and I'm trying really hard to stay on track, and I'm having problems, so... Yeah.
You said Paul's not a great preacher, but he planted 14 churches, which I think that's fascinating.
Oh, no, no, please don't get me wrong. I'm not putting Paul down at all. I think that a lot of things he's famous for had nothing to do with him. You're right. The brother is a church planting. He's one of the most exceptional human beings that's ever lived. But it's not because he was a great preacher. And it's not because he's a lot of fun to listen to. And not because he was a lot of, you know, this or whatever. I mean, it was not those things. We're sitting here 2,000 years later, saved with Bibles because of what Paul did.
So and true.
My favorite thing that Paul says out of anything that he says, if we got to do a show on this, just talk about the epistles and talk about the books and just like, let's talk about Romans, man. Here's what changed my life in the book of Romans. Here's what changed the book of, man, I remember when I first got into spiritual warfare and the book of Ephesians and how that was a game changer for me. And then I remember when I got into, I need to have a gift of encouragement. I need to get off into Galatians. And then all of these different things.
Well, when you read Paul's writings, if you read it in the context of who he's writing it to, he writes specific to a specific culture of people, to a specific issue that they're having. So it's easy for you to read through his books and go, oh, well, he kind of contradicts himself, or, oh, he's actually saying this, and he's really not saying that. He's addressing those people in particular. And so when you're reading Paul, you have to really go, okay, who is he speaking to, and what was going on in that place? Because he was a father. He was an apostle. And so he set things in order. That was his job, was to set things straight and to come in. He was the dad that said, okay, yeah, now we're going to fix this, and now you're going to get with this program. And he was very real. He was good.
Matt has something. Matt has made several different comments on here, and he's like, he wants everybody to understand what celibacy is. It's refraining from any type of relationship. So Paul referred it to being like a eunuch. He's like, it's not an option for me. I do not have an option to have any kind of relationship with any woman. All of my relationships that I have are all kingdom relationships. That's it.
And that would be why.
And that's, yeah. And to your point, that would be why. Because he was divorced. Mm-hmm. Unless he was the one guy that was ever in the Sanhedrin that wasn't married.
Or maybe he never got divorced and he was still married to her.
Yeah, and maybe he still was.
Yeah. Is that correct? Who knows? But
And it wasn't good.
And he was just on the run, out for a pack of smokes.
He went to go buy diapers.
Yeah. But my favorite thing, out of all the things that he writes, my favorite thing is this one little, something that can get me to tear up when I start thinking about it, and I'm not going to, but he says at the end of his life, he says, so-and-so greets you, so-and-so greets you, so-and-so greets you. And then he says, even those of the house of Caesar greet you, meaning I got there. Yeah. It's like somebody who wanted their entire life, they wanted to go to Everest, and then you get a selfie one day, and they're at the top. And they got nothing to say except for this, and you're like, that's the top of Everest. His Everest was, I am going to reach the household of Caesar.
Yeah.
That's what I'm going to do.
He's a rock star.
And he says at the end of his life, even those of the household of Caesar greet you like. And he's just letting them know, I got them.
Come on. You make me want to do the Epistles episode tomorrow. What are we doing tomorrow?
So good. So thank you, Paul. All right.
That's cool.
Well, we're about to go behind the veil. I'll let you guys talk for a minute. Tell everybody what we got to tell them. Let's make some announcements. And plus, I'm preaching tomorrow night here at Open Door Church.
Oh, yeah.
I'm preaching part two of the part two of my numbers that prophesy, and it's the episode on the Titanic.
Yeah.
You don't want to miss it.
Yeah,
it's a good one.
Now, I know you Texans, you can't drive if it's cold outside. Right on. So all of the out of state people, man, come out and be a part of the church service on Wednesday night.
Maybe we'll have hot chocolate.
All right, hey, you know what? Let's do that.
That's a great idea.
You know what? I guarantee you, we will have hot chocolate.
I volunteer someone to help us do hot chocolate. Yeah,
and we'll get marshmallows.
We'll have hot chocolate. And we'll do that.
Oh, yeah.
And guys, we'll make that happen. But guys, you're gonna want to see this message. You're going to want to see
it. It's going to be so good.
And it is going to be good. So come out and be a great big part of that Wednesday night, 7 p.m.
Yeah. Boom. And we've got a few other announcements before we let you go and go behind the veil. We want to remind you on that note, Pastor Troy's book, Numbers That Prophesy, is available now. You can go to shop.troybrewer.com or go to troybrewer.com, or you can do it, get it on Amazon. And hey, while you're there, while you're on Amazon, if you're like me, you do a lot of your shopping, leave him a review if you have read the book. Obviously, we hope it's a good review. Book. But I want to encourage you to do that because that really helps on the algorithm, and it's landed in the number one in its category on Amazon. And that's, we're just thankful to all of you who have purchased it, and it's been really good. It's been out for a bit now, and we're really excited about that. So I want to encourage you to get that because that is what he's going to be preaching on over this next month. So as he said, this week, we're going to get part two of his Numbers That Prophesy series. This past Sunday, you did part one, which was so good. And that's available on ODX on YouTube. If you missed it, you talked all about Abraham Lincoln. Oh man. It was so good. This is just such a timely series. So make sure you check out the book, check out our services for those messages as well. And hey, we want to remind you the New Beginnings Conference is next week, you guys. It's next week. We have some amazing guests that are going to be there. We've got an ODX gathering just for our ODX community. So if you haven't purchased your ticket for that, please be sure and do so. Go to our website. You can get all the information there. It's just going to be so incredible. You've got a fresh word. And I'm so ready for it. This will be my first official New Beginnings Conference. And I just know it's like our biggest event of the year. So I can't wait to be a part of it. And
it's going to be good.
The worship, we've got some really cool stuff planned for that. So I'm just so excited for what God has in store for this house this year and this country this year. You know, I just think it's all happening at the same time. And that's how God does it. And it's an exciting time to be here.
If you're still hanging out here after being on here for an hour, you're going to be glad that you held out for this because I'm going to tell you guys something. This is one of the reasons why we need to pray for this president that is coming in with this prophetic name and in this prophetic time is because I preached the message on Sunday and I did not say this, and I'll say this to you on my podcast. Whenever we look at President Abraham Lincoln, the 16th president, 16 is when you lay down your life all the way through the Word of God. He lays down his life and he dies. He dies at the very beginning of his second term, okay? He had just been elected. He's moving into the second term. Everybody's ready to start throwing their babies in the air and light bulbs start flashing and all those kinds of things. And then on April the 14th, he was shot in the head by an assassin. And then on April the 15th, he died. On April the 14th, on the day that he was shot in the head, that was actually Good Friday, and it was also Passover. So Passover, anyway, it was so prophetic. Mm. Now that I'm going to say that, I'm going to say this. 47 years to the day later, April the 14th, in the year 1912, the Titanic hit the iceberg on the 14th, and then it sank on the 15th, just exactly like President Abraham Lincoln's. Okay, how many years was that?
47, right?
Yeah. What presidency is this?
47.
It's 47. And it's his second term. And I look at all that and I go, whoa. Mm. Mm-hmm. I can see a prophetic sentence that I hope is not a part of this narrative.
Yeah.
And I want to pray for the 47th president that he does not suffer the same fate and that America doesn't go through the hell that it went through when President Lincoln was assassinated, because America went into a darkness. And I want to tell you, I've studied, you know, I'm a studier, and I know what happened in Texas during the quote-unquote Reconstruction period, and there was a darkness for about 30 years here. I mean, there wasn't even a coin. There wasn't even any money here for 30 years. That's why they gathered up all the cows and took them all the way to Kansas, because that was the only place where you could sell something. Yeah, I mean, it was horror fest took place here. And so that's the whole thing of Abraham Lincoln and the Titanic are tied together to the date by the number 47. And all that happened at the very beginning of the second term of Abraham Lincoln. And now we're entering into the very beginning of the second term of President Trump. And I declare Psalms 91, hedge of protection around him.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. Come on.
Yes, Lord. Well, I'm excited to go behind the veil And give people a little bit more of a taste of what God has been speaking to you in this new year, the year of the open window.
Mm-hmm.
As you say, Zach, any other announcements we should make before we go behind the veil?
I think we should just see you guys there. Come on over to odx.tv, join Stage 2 or Stage 3 if you're not already a member, and enjoy the exclusive content that this show provides for you on there with all the other teachings of Pastor Troy and just so many other cool opportunities that you can have on there with live worship, conferences, sermon teachings, ministry teachings, you name it. You can get it all exclusively at odx.tv. And you're partnering with us. It contributes to the fight against saving boys and girls out of sex trafficking. So please go over there and see the content on there and sew into something such as this. And we'll see you there.
All right, we'll see you behind the veil.